Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another Just Breathe program. I thank God for everyone who has called in on the phone lines and for all the internet listeners. Glory be to God. This is Evangelist Hannah with Kingdom Builders International and Hannah's Alpha and Omega Outreach. Continue to listen to the music and I will return. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I'm lost without you. Oh.
Oh,
Glory to God. We are truly lost without him. We can't breathe. We can't walk. We can't talk without him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is Evangelist Hannah again with Kingdom Builders International and Hannah's Alpha Omega Ministries. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Tonight, I have a mighty man of God, a guest speaker that's going to come on right after I make a couple of announcements. Glory be to God. Kingdom Builders International is having prophetic training and activation workshop October the 27th, 28th, and 29th. The 27th and 28th will be from 6:30 to 9:30, and the 29th will be from 9 to 5, and lunch will be provided. The hosting church is Straightway Full Gospel, 10359 South King Drive Avenue. Glory be to God. And I say that everyone is not called to be a prophet or a prophetess, but everyone is called to hear or recognize the voice of God. Glory be to God. And we also will have a prophetic training activation workshop in Detroit, Michigan area, November the 17th, 18th, and 19th. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come out and support us. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can go to kingdomdaughters.org to register. The registration fee is $60. Glory be to God. Come out and support. If you can't come out, come out and support and pay for someone else so they can come out. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And our guest speaker tonight is actually the pastor of Greater Straightway Full Gospel Church on 103rd and King Drive, Apostle Dwayne Brooks. Glory be to God. He's the man of God that's going to come forth today, and I just continue to pray that the Holy Spirit will use him. Glory be to God. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just plead the blood of Jesus over the phone lines, God. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy, Lord God. We thank you that your word will go forth tonight, God, with power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I plead the blood of Jesus over the man of God as he prepared to come forth. I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to accept every gift in the inside of him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Apostle Brooks, are you on the line?
Yes, if you can hear me, I'm right here just praising God with you.
Yes, I can hear you, man of God. I now yield the lines over to you.
Amen. God bless you. I thank you, Evangelist Hannah, for this opportunity to once again speak to the people of God. About the oracles of God from the throne room of God. First, let's take precedence and allow the Holy Spirit to use us. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come right now humbly but boldly before the throne. First of all, to thank you and to praise your name. I come, Father, to thank you for what you're about to do, to instill wisdom and love in our hearts, that you would allow us, Father, to be used beyond my normal wisdom and knowledge. We thank you ahead of time for this teaching shall go out and impact someone. Lord, we bind the enemy ahead of time. Open up spiritual ears and hearts. In the glorious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you out there. I just want to speak for a while on the nine gifts of the Spirit. Oftentimes we find we're churching folks who sit there Sunday after Sunday. I get a three-point sermon and go home, and nothing has been changed except the fact that they changed their church clothes and put back on their regular clothes. But we need to stop churching folks and understand that they're not an accident. Irregardless of what their mother and father told them, they're here for a purpose. Each of us has been given a gift by God. And once you will start using that gift, miraculous things happen in your church, especially if you're operating in the fivefold ministry. We are a full gospel church, which means that we believe in the entirety of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations. Everything should take place that's in the Bible. It should take place in your particular church. I understand that we should see signs and wonders in our churches, because God says, greater gifts I will leave with you, that you operate under the unction of the Holy Spirit. So just for a few minutes, evangelists, if you allow me to elaborate somewhat on the nine gifts of the Spirit, so that we can impugn to God's people that they need to seek their gift, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and 38 tells us. We're admonished to seek gifts. And it says, seek a good gift. And let's talk someone about the First Corinthians and give you a little history of Paul writing to the church of Corinth. He had been a prisoner of Ephesus for 3 years. He wrote around the year 59 A.D. about Christian conduct and their life. It's the 46th book of the Bible with 16 chapters, 437 verses, 9,489 words. It has 113 questions, 5 Old Testament prophecies, and 13 New Testament prophecies. It has 377 verses of history. Corinth was a bubbling city on the coast, which means everything had to come through there. Remember, now they didn't have trains or planes, but they had the sea coast. Everything was transferred by ship. So it was a very bubbling sea coastal city that everything ran through Corinth. They also had temples of Diana, of prostitution, and those type of things, and Paul set up the church so that they could relinquish their old ways. Some always want to go back. Even the children of Israel, after God had released them, want to go back. Some of us, once we get saved, we have the opportunity to stay saved, but that's why we have God as married to the backslider, because sometimes they go back. But we have to talk about today folks who are getting their gifts in the church. Wouldn't it be a wonderful church if everybody in the church, or your particular church, was operating with the gift that God has given them? Remembering I said earlier, everybody has a gift. My, that's a wonderful thing to know. God has given us all something special that we can do for his kingdom purposes. And there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and there are as follows: the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of the different type of tongue. And everybody has this gift. What are these gifts of the Spirit? How can you know that you have a particular gift? We often ask ourselves, but we never endeavor to go into it and find out, because we think once we save, that's the end of our journey. But that's the beginning of a long trip home to heaven. Can others give us indication of what our gifts are? What does the believer do with these gifts in church? Are some gifts more important than others? Are the gifts of healing still being accessed by believers today? Is the gift of miracles still existent in the church today? Each and every believer, as I said, has been given a gift. They are not gifts that have to be developed by human capacities. Therefore, the believer has absolutely no right to brag about these gifts. And that's important, because sometimes we felt in church somebody is speaking in tongues and other believers feel that they have more Holy Ghost than them. I tell you, my beloved, that is not the case. They just have the gift that you don't have, but you have something maybe that they don't have. If we exalt our gifts, we are not trying to take credit for something that we have not earned ourselves. It's not like taking credit for a gift you receive on your birthday. It's just that, a gift that was not yours, but given to you freely, and is given apart from any inherent capability that you have within you. It is not like changing the hymn of how great thou art to how great I am, if I had a witness. No believer can say that they have no gift of the Spirit from God without God giving it to them freely. As in anything else, God's mercy and grace rest in the Bible with us. Some have several gifts. Some have 2 gifts. Some just have 1. These gifts of the Spirit are not given for the believer, but for the body of Christ. When you operate in your gifts, if I'm a minister and I'm a teacher, my gift is not to edify myself, but it's to exalt God's people, endeavoring to the word of God, to expound on it, to explode in it, and to give them the intricate things of the word of God that they might not quite understand themselves. That's my gift. I operate in my gift, and I pray it is a gift of excellence that edifies somebody to come to Christ. It is to make the body complete. When everybody's operating their gift, it's a complete body of Christ operating on this, and you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Remember, these gifts are intended to edify the church, to strengthen it, to feed, to exhort, to encourage, and to have the body of Christ empowered to do so, to do the work of Christ, and to work to enlarge the body of Christ, witnessing by God's power. In other words, if we're operating our gifts as we should be, each and every one on the level that God has given them to, Not only will you increase your congregation, you're strengthening the word of God, and you're preparing people for the ultimate return of Jesus Christ. It is to build up the body of Christ, enlarge the body of Christ. There are several biblical tools and surveys that believers can use to discover their gifts. These are helpful applications to allow the Christian to see what their gifts are and therefore how they can help the church. No believer in Christ has all the gifts by themselves. You've never seen a church with one person operating by itself. Isaiah 11, 2 and 3 speaks of several different kinds of gifts that we might not talk about tonight, such as the gift of mercy. It is a gift, but it's not listed. It's a gift that you would have supernatural compassion on others. In other words, you have a heart for God's people, but it's not listed as one of the gifts. The Spirit might counsel you about certain gifts that you have the knowledge of, but you won't be able to operate in it until you come to the full administration of what God has for you. You have to pray on it. You have to ask for it. Remember, God is our Father, and as our Father, we ask him for different gifts. And it says in God's word, we who are flesh, if our children ask, can give good gifts, our Father in heaven can give us mighty gifts. These are important gifts, and some are similar to but different than others. So let's talk about some of these gifts. This is not an exhaustive list of the gifts. This might not give you all the answers in the short time we have, but it will endeavor to lead and guide and direct you to the point that you know how to find your gift or what your gift is. Some of you will be surprised. You might have been using your gift all the time and didn't recognize that you were operating in the gift. We cannot receive gifts that we are not intended to receive, but we can desire certain gifts, indicating that we can receive gifts of the Spirit that may fulfill the desires of our heart while still fulfilling God's purpose for them. Amen? Let's examine what these gifts are and their intended use for our church today. Romans chapter 12 has a similar listing of the gifts, but the Spirit that I'm talking about tonight is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is more comprehensive in nature and gives us the idea of what God says. In chapter 12, starting at the 7th verse, reads like this. Now to each of us, for each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, in other words, for the good of the church. To one that is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, I was reading from the NIV, but if you're reading from the King James Version, it is the same thing. It might have used different vernacular to describe the gifts, but those are the nine. The first one it talks about is the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom is a revelation gift, seeing life from God's perspective. It talked about that in Acts 23 and 6, and also Jesus talked about it in Matthew 22. And the 15. The first gift Paul mentioned is the gift of wisdom. It is listed first perhaps because it is foundational to the church, and this gift is that a believer can earnestly desire. Wisdom is clearly taught in the Word of God, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding, according to Psalms 11 and 10. This is a precious gift that Solomon asked for and received from God to be able to rule God's kingdom wisely. Within this wisdom, Solomon could understand what to do in difficult situations. Remember, in the book of God, Solomon is the most wisest man in the world. Why, when God asked him a question, what would you desire of me? He didn't ask for silver and gold. He said, God, give me wisdom. And wisdom is also associated with the fear of the Lord. Fear is simply standing in awe of God's reverence and its respect. It entails loving his word and being obedient to what God says. There is no wisdom in disobedience. And we know disobedience is witchcraft. So if you desire the gift of wisdom, you're asking for the supernatural knowledge to understand God's word with a respectful reverence of who God is beyond man's normal comprehension. This means that if some members are revering God's word and laws and statutes, including loving your neighbor as never before, that many members in the church can have this gift. Of course, many can't receive it either, because a lot of people don't understand that wisdom comes with a lot of a task on you. It said, too much is given, much is desired. And so when you desire something, you have to understand that you're going to have to work within that. Not going to be easy work, because it's not easy being a Christian. So if you start operating in one of these gifts, remember the enemy is going to be mad and he's going to send things against you. But you have the authority to take control of any situation, according to Luke 10 and 19. He says, I give you power over scorpions and serpents, thereby nothing can hurt you. Understanding this word of God, you operate with authority with your gift. Thereby you understand that Satan must flee because you're operating as God would have you to go. The gift is supreme importance. We're talking about wisdom for members in the body of Christ. But we can love God and our neighbor the same way. We can greatly contribute to the church and those outside of the church. This is a love of God beyond man's understanding. That's why we call it wisdom. The gift of wisdom seems to be the ability to make decisions and give guidance according to that which is God's will. That's the first one we're talking about, the wisdom of God. What kind of gift did we say it was? We understood that gift of wisdom is a revelation gift, which means it reveals something supernatural. The next gift that was talked about was the gift of knowledge, the revelation gift. You can read about it in Noah in Genesis 6, 14 to 22. It's the supernatural comprehension of God's work. Again, the gift of knowledge is the supernatural comprehension of God's word. The next gift of the Spirit, I said, was knowledge. Some people have such a gift of remembering scriptures. They have knowledge of God and his ways. They seem to be able to quickly distinguish which is biblical and which is not. Some translations say it is the word of knowledge, while others say it is the utterance of knowledge. The word is mostly certainly the word of God. The utterance of knowledge could indicate that those with the gift of knowledge know when to speak particular words that would fit that situation in a knowledgeable way so that somebody else can understand it. In other words, you might be able to break down the word of God to someone who is not as learned as you or don't have that ability that you do so that they can receive what thus saith the Lord. The utterance of this word of knowledge means that you're operating on a higher level than your neighbor is because you have a supernatural ability to understand. Both words are seen to fulfill the knowledge of God. These gifts make this excellent for teachers, deacons, elders, and pastors. So some of us who are in the field of teaching and administering God's word, we have the gift of knowledge, which means we can give the word in season, out of season. It also means that we can give the word as a baby would have it, or we could add some meat to it as a mature Christian can receive it at the same time. Amen. It is the supernatural, transcendental revelation of the divine will and the plan of God as related to his word. Let me speak that again about the word of knowledge. It is the transcendental revelation of the divine will and plan of God as related to his word. Next, we have the gift of faith. It's a power gift to perform something impossible by normal human effort. Again, it's not the regular faith. It's the gift of faith. They are distinguished by what you operate in. We all have faith because God tells us to have the faith of a mustard seed, and we have that. But there's the gift of faith. It's a power gift to perform something impossible by normal human effort. The gift that he's talking about here is the gift of truly amazing to see how these things operate. They tend to exude confidence in all situations. For example, our church deacon has said about our church, well, when it grows, we'll need more Sunday school books. Amen. Well, others say if we grow, we'll need additional books. I met vendors once that spoke about these things as if they already existed and had come to pass. So faith, we know, is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. We've heard that before, but Apostle Brooks, what does that mean? It means such as God, he completed you before he created you. So he knew everything that you was going to do ahead of time. And our faith, our supernatural faith, dictates that we know it's going to happen in regards to how it looks. In other words, you understand what you're looking at is not what it's going to be. You can look at an open field, but you can also see that field with a great building or a crowd of people there. So it's seeing beyond the natural, and your faith puts you in such a supernatural place that you understand it's going to happen. And we understand that's faith. That's faith that can move a mountain. That's the type of faith that gives us our churches who can operate in any situation, irregardless. The faith that tells us we can defeat the devil on every venue. That's faith. The next gift we'll talk about is the gift of healing. The gift of healing is a power gift. It means removing diseases from your spirit, from your physical, and your spiritual body. The gift of healing is a power gift. The gift of healing is one of the most controversial gifts that there is. Some have been called faith healers, claim to have gifts that are being exposed to be by frauds and undercover reporters. We've seen that happen time and time again on television, where someone will pay somebody to come up and play like they cripple and lay hands on them and throw their canes and throw their wheelchairs across the room, so to speak, and they get up running around and come to find out they didn't pay it out the back door. Well, we're not going to talk about frauds today, because it says by his stripes we are healed. There are those who have healing hands. The gift of healing still operates in our churches today, but it takes that faith to operate the healing within your body. I tell everyone when we lay hands on them that you have to confess with your mouth, "I'm healed in the name of Jesus." And when God heals you, you're healed for real. Many of those healed have been interviewed prior to, and we know what happens, and they find out it was later on dispelled. And it just adds, waters down the gift of healing, because people tend to believe television before they believe the Word of God. This gift is prominent in the New Testament church. It confirms that Jesus' name had power, and there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. For it is that what heals you, the blood. It says, "Any of you are sick, let them call the elders amongst you, that they may lay hands on you and anoint you, that you may be healed and forgiven of your sins." I'm not saying that people aren't being healed today as they should be, but it takes that person with healing power, that gift, the gift that has in their hand, the revealing power of God, that they lay hands on them, and the fervent, effectual prayer of righteous men accomplish that miracle through the advent of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot heal of ourselves, but the power that operates through the person with the gift of healing through the blood of Jesus Christ certainly heals. And we stand on his word. By his stripes, again, I say, we are healed. Healed is plural. That means it's already done. And when you confess something that's already done, it's done. You just have to believe it and receive it. Oh, I'm almost teaching here for you. Then we have the gifts of miracles. Are you still there, Evangeline? Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, I was just wondering if everybody was here. Are you receiving me well there?
Yes, I'm receiving you, Apostle.
Amen. We're going to talk about the gifts of miracles now. The gifts of miracles is a power gift, natural or supernatural. Events with this precise time to bring glory to God. Remember, miracles are not to show how bad I am. If Michael Jackson asked the question, "Who's bad?" I say, "God is bad." So when we do miracles, it's not to promote myself. It's not to promote my church, but to promote God and the glory of God. And miracles still operate in our church. Jesus told us that when he left, greater things are you going to be able to do. The gift of miraculous powers is another gift of the Spirit that appears to be unique in the unique New Testament church. This may also be associated with faith healers who claim that they have the gift of miraculous powers, and we know about charlatans, and those things seem how it gravitate to people the most. Miracles and healing, charlatans use that the most, because people have itches. They want something. They want something tangible. They want to see God operate, but people take advantage of that most of the time and say, "I can do this and I can do that." When they say, "I leave," but when they say God or Jesus can, take a look, and maybe it can happen. But I want to see signs and wonders operate in our church, and we do, because I lean not to my own understanding. I acknowledge him. It could be attributed to those who are prayer warriors. They also have miracles. If you have prayer warriors in your church, you're going to see some miracles happen. We've had some pretty interesting things that happen in our church. The greatest miracles that occur today, for the most part, are the miracle of human conversion. When you see a drug dealer, you see a prostitute, or you see a whoremonger, whatever title you want to put on someone, change their lives. That's a miracle. When you look in the miracle, you are a miracle. I'm a miracle in the process. He's still working on me. He's not finished with me yet. You have to understand, miracles come in a variety of reasons. We always ask for financial miracles. Great. He said he opened the doors of the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing. But the operation of miracles are used to edify God, to bring about something spectacular operating in the midst of you that you know only God and the power of the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ could have brought it about. That is a gift of miracle. And some operate in that miraculous gift to see miracles come forth, not of themselves. They don't look for pats on the back or their name in a newspaper, but to glorify God. Here's another interesting a gift that we speak of, especially in the church. The gift of prophecy has been misused so many times. I've been to so many churches say, line up with the $100 line, the $50 line, the $25 line. In other words, he's putting the price on what prophecy he's going to give you. And when that happens, when you do get up to leave out the door. It is an inspirational or a vocal gift, bringing to the light the secrets and motives of the heart and what God has for you or what God has to say to that particular congregation. The gift of prophecy has several different interpretations, but it's clear in this context. Within the church at Corinth, prophecy is the gift of teaching and or speaking, the literal translation of speaking the word of God from God for a particular situation that is revealed, and that only can be revealed because someone was listening to the heart of God. It doesn't edify that person, but it edifies the word of God to know that God has speaking to you specifically about a situation that only you knew about and God knew about. And a stranger comes up with the gift of prophecy and reveals that to you. It's used for a lot of reasons. A lot of times you only want to hear, well, God's going to bless you with a new car. He's going to give you a new house. We love to hear those things, and it's a possibility. But sometimes prophecy is a gift of warning. You need to not do this, or you need to know that God is asking you to stop this, or don't go this way, or don't go that way. Prophets do not have a problem telling you what thus says the Lord, irregardless of the condition or circumstances, what you might think of that particular person who's giving the prophecy. And we have some wonderful prophecy teachers now. Those gifts are becoming real relevant in our church tonight because we're in the dispensation of eschatology, the ultimate end and return of Jesus the Christ. Signs and wonders are working all around us to implement and indicate that Jesus is on his way. So prophecy is more prevalent and needed in the church now than evermore. And God will not give that gift to the church for a person to gain financially, but it's to promote God and the church within it. It is not inferring that you know the future, but you know what's going to come about. It makes you a great person. It just makes God so great that he still picks particular humans to speak to. Prophecy is not preaching, and preaching can be prophesied. A lot of times ministers who are ministering the word of God are actually prophesying what thus saith the Lord through the word of God. But we don't look at it like that literally sometimes, but exactly what it is because it's a revelation. Amen. Now there's the gift of discernment. Discernment is if you can also, you ever walked up to a person and said, something ain't right about them. Well, something in your spirit or soul is giving you an indication that that person was not what they said they was or what they could be. But God has given us a particular gift to operate in the church called discernment. It is called a revelation gift. Recognizing what is good versus the word of flesh or the devil. Sometimes a person will profess to be one thing, but if you have discernment, you understand there's something else. When I was coming up in the world, we used to say they was talking out the side of their neck. In other words, saying one thing and being something else. The gift of distinguishing between spirits is having a gift of discernment. It is able to discern scriptures and their application to believers in the church. It is also being able to tell whether someone is earnest and sincere, or they appear to have an agenda rather than have a spirit to follow. A lot of people in churches nowadays have agendas. But if you have discernment, as pastors and teachers should have, you understand that if a person has an agenda, you know how to teach them, you know how to talk to them, and you know where to place them. Peter displayed this in Acts chapter 5 when Ananias, together with his wife, Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back part of the money, if you remember the story. And he rested at the apostles' feet, but they was lying. He told them, listen, why do you lie to the Holy Spirit? He discerned that they were deceiving each other, and they died on the spot. Those with this gift of discernment or distinguishing between spirits may be able to know whether the church should or should not do particular things. The pastor might say, I want to do this or something like that. If he's humble enough and a person with discernment of spirits or situation, humble pastor, the church is not ready yet, God said, maybe we go this way. It might seem like a prophecy, but they're discerning what the Holy Spirit is telling them. And I always keep my ears open for people with the gifts. You can hear from a child, but you understand, recognize the gifts in your church. Then we have the gift of tongues. Now, the gift of speaking in tongues is probably another one of the most controversial things that we could talk of in churches. I came out of a Baptist church, and they don't believe in it, or some don't believe there's such a thing as speaking in tongues. And I taught this great sermon about there's no such a thing until one Sunday morning God gave me a heavenly language. There is a heavenly language that comes from God that we speak through the Holy Spirit that is used to talk to God and to edify the Holy Spirit. It's also a prayer language, because if you keep praying in normal tongues, sometimes the enemy will try to block your prayer. But if you're praying in tongues or the language or heavenly language, he can't interpret it. He don't know what you're asking for, and he don't know what you receive. The gift of tongues is an inspirational gift or a vocal gift, glorifying God through a language and sometimes even music. This gift is the ability to speak in different tongues. This is controversial and most wanted, misunderstood gift of all. When the original outpouring came to Pentecost, they were speaking in tongues of those that were there. And Paul wrote about this extensively. But later on, he also said that there was a heavenly language mandated that those could speak it because it was a gift to be able to speak to God through the unction of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we have this gift and we speak in tongues, I've heard people say that you're not saved if you don't speak in tongues. That's a fallacy. That's wrong. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It's just not your gift. There's some that says people have more Holy Spirit than somebody else because they stood up and run off tongues. That's wrong, too. Realize that what God has for you is for you. But a person with the gift of tongues, do not envy them, nor do think that they're more prominent in the church than you are. They're just operating in their gifts, and they may be speaking something on your behalf for the church under the unction of the Holy Spirit. They have actually have prostituted some of these gifts of tongues, and actually it's done over and over again, and sometimes we get bored with it. But Paul said, if I walk into a church and everybody is speaking in tongues, it seemed like they're crazy. And it would seem if somebody walked off the street and everybody in there was speaking in tongues. And I haven't been in too many churches where everybody was speaking in tongues at the same time. But there are some that are speaking in tongues. And that means they are God-fearing, gifted people that have the ability to speak that heavenly language at any given notice as the Holy Spirit gives them unction. And one time a person said, well, I don't understand what you're saying, Pastor. I had to tell them. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God. Amen?
Amen.
So it is a supernatural utterance through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a spiritual language. In Isaiah 20 and 11, Mark 16 and 17, Acts 2 and 4, and 1 Corinthians 12 and 10, we'll talk about that. But then there's the gift of interpretation of tongues. This gift has not been used as much as it should be. Most people don't seek this gift, but the gift is there all the time, and understand that there are some that have this gift. And we know right now that gift is one needed in the church sometime. It's not learning English, it's not learning Spanish, but it's being able to understand that heavenly gift as it comes forth. This gift is always a desire to help others to understand the task that's accomplished through speaking in the wonderful language of the Holy Spirit. There's absolutely a need for it today, but most people don't seek that gift because it's not a gift that's outstanding. It's not a power gift. It's not a gift that comes to the forefront. And a lot of times we want to seek the gifts that are more prominent in the church. This is a gift that is accepted humbly, as you can speak to someone who says, okay, they're speaking in tongues, and this is what was said. It's ordered to edify that this thing is true and for real. There are twice that I've ran into people that could understand tongues. I had that opportunity three or four times myself, but I didn't cultivate the gift, so I don't have it as I would like to, but I've been able to understand sometimes when people are speaking in tongues. I do know that if they're speaking in tongues for real, I can understand that they're operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes stammering lips, and sometimes another tongue will speak. So that's why we need someone always to interpret those gifts. Amen? And so when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we also must mention, and I did deny, we also must mention there's teaching, as encouragement. And I'd like to tell you before I finish today that in discovering those gifts, you'll find that there's fruit of the Spirit. And that those gifts are the Spirit, but there's fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit comes, if you read Galatians 5 and 22 to 23, the fruit of operating those gifts in your church would be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, and goodness. And those are the fruit of the Spirit, with faith, meekness, temperance, and self-control. So in other words, if our church is operating, or your church is operating, with those nine gifts within them, there's the fruition of that would be those that are mentioned in Galatians 5 and 22. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our churches were operating like that, and it was love and temperance, self-control, no backbiting, and just love, and the gift of the Spirit are there. Before I leave, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. If you go to a word church, if you've been in church, you need to seek your gift, in regards to what our parents told us. And it was a terrible thing to hear that. Yeah, you got here by accident. No, you got here by providence. God put you here that you might seek the gift. Seek what you can do. You're not just there to pay your tithe and to hear a sermon. You are able to operate in the church when you find your gift. Read 1 Corinthians 12 and 38. It says, seek and desire that gift. Pray on it. It's in you. It's there. Just like somebody can sing. If they stop singing, God will give that gift to somebody else. The gift of wisdom. The gift of knowledge. The gift of faith. The gift of healing. The gift of miracles. The gift of prophecy. The gift of discerning spirits. The gift of tongues. The gift of interpreting tongues. The gift of administration. And the gift of health. All things that will make your church a greater place to be. Stop being a bench hole. Start being a person that operates in excellence. Do what God would have you to do. 1 Corinthians 12 gives us that over and over again, that we all have a gift. When you operate in your gift, how great he is, but you operate in excellence. Thank you. God bless. I'm Apostle Dwayne Brooks, Greater Straightway Full Gospel Church. We start at 12:30 every Sunday, and we just love to have you come by. Did we thank you? As far as we can, well, God can take you where he wants you. I appreciate you, Evangelist Hannah, for having me. We hope that someone was touched by the word today, that they'll seek their gift. They operate with excellence and understanding, that they're more than a bench warmer, but an office holder. God bless. God keep you. Amen.
Amen. Glory be to God, men of God. And the church address is 10359 South King Drive Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. What a word, man of God, and it just goes with the prophetic training and activation workshop that we're giving, because the man of God just, he gives you more understanding about spiritual gifts also. Glory be to God. So I thank God for you, man of God. I thank God for you letting God use you tonight. Glory be to God. And if you're on the lines or if you're over the internet and you have not called on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't walk in the gifts of God. Hallelujah. You can't be filled with the Spirit of God. Glory be to God. So if you have not called on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please repeat after me. Father, I'm a sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart, to save me, to help me, to cleanse me in the name of Jesus. By faith, I believe that Jesus died and he rose again. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. If you just made that statement by faith, hallelujah. Welcome to the body of Christ. The angels is rejoicing. We are rejoicing in the name of Jesus. You can go to www.kingdomdaughters.org and go into the comment box. Let us know. We would love to pray for you. We would love to send you a Bible if you do not have a Bible. Glory be to God. And again, welcome to the body of Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. You truly worthy. And we need to operate in our gifts, glory be to God, and not sit on them, glory to God. The lines are now open for comments. If you have noise in your background, please. please mute your phone. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, you truly worthy. You worthy, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. So if anyone on the line that has a comment, a testimony, a prayer request, you may come forth now.
Good evening, Kingdom's daughter. This is Corny Clauston. Praise the Lord for God who is ahead of my life. You know, I'm so glad I called in because when I have read scriptures, and that has always been a question, you know, where are they in the church? If Jesus said that you shall receive these things after you have confessed Christ and that you have been baptized and born again, that you shall receive these things. So it's like, you know, I've been to, well, one or two churches, but you're looking for these things, okay? If the word says that healing, you should be healing. If miracles should take place, if Jesus gave them that power, where is that power today? Jesus hasn't changed. The same thing that happened should be happening today because he's still Lord and Savior. And this is his word. So it's like, where is this today? In the churches. So I kind of like get a more understanding when he spoke on miracles, because those were questions that I was asking, you know, just asking myself in the churches. So I'm glad that I tuned in, because I kind of like get a more understanding, because like the pastor said, a lot of people, you have that spirit, you need to start operating in your gifts. Because, yes, it's thanks. We have to. Because I know if this is a question and I am born again, I am that, and I still ask that question. You know, I still ask that question. Where is the healing? You know, if Jesus said it, then it is so. So thank you, Pastor. Thank you for shedding a little light on that for me. Because I know if I ask that question, I know that it's more people ask that question if they are reading the word.
Amen. Glory to God.
You know, you go into churches and you have people that are speaking in tongues, but as the word says, I mean, what it is to no effect if there is no understanding. You know, you have someone that's gonna hug you, and they're gonna speak in words, and your thing is okay. But what are you saying? What can someone elaborate or give me an understanding?
Yes, Lord.
You know, I know if Jesus said it, then it's so. So yes, we need to start operating in our spirits, in our gifts, because I know that it's a question that's being asked because I myself asked it. So
well,
I thank
God.
You once again, and I will be at that workshop.
Glory to God. Woman of God, this is Evangelist Hannah. I also think that as people operate in their gifts, in order to operate in your gift with the full power, with the impact that the Holy Spirit want to use you, you have to have an intimate relationship with God. You got to fast. You got to turn away your plate. You got to lay down. You got to cry out. Because the words say the power that worketh in you.
But
so we
you
have
get,
the power,
yes.
But is it truly
yes.
working in us? Are we spending that time with God? So we can go from glory to glory. Are we pushing away our plates so we can operate effectively in our gifts?
Speak, Evangelist. Hallelujah.
You know what? You know,
that's
okay.
What's missing
and,
in the church. We ain't seeing miracles because we're not operating effectively in our gifts. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And that makes a difference. Hallelujah.
And, I mean, it's really kind of sad, you know.
Amen.
When you know this, when you know the requirements, when you know what God requires of us, and if we're not seeing this, then what's going on with the churches?
you know, what's going on with the, well, when I say churches, I don't mean just churches. The church is just everyone. It's the body of Christ.
Amen. Apostle, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell the lady thank you so much for that, and we hope it did help someone. It's what I want to let everybody know. Get out of religion and get into revelation.
Amen.
Sometimes we get comfortable with our, we get comfortable with our religion, we get in and we get three songs, we feel good, we get a pretty good three-point sermon, and we sit home. But we're coming in the church of dispensation and eschatology. Jesus is coming back. We need to drop our religious attitudes and walk into gifts thereof. If it's not working, signs, wonders, and miracles are not working at your church, don't be afraid to find one that there is. You sit there because your parents brought you there, you've been there so long, and that's where you paid your tithes and offerings. But if it's not satisfying or edifying your soul or progressing to the point where you see things that should operate, get up and find one. There's some out here that's really operating in the gifts of God. We're not on television. We're not popular because we're not going to be popular. We may not have 10,000 members, but we're operating as God would have us to operate, that the gifts we use to edify God's people and heal them. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there anyone else on the line that has comments?
Apostle Clark.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Clark.
How are you today?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm doing well. Apostle Brooks, we really enjoyed your word on today. Our fellowship center, she and Gary, and we really enjoyed your word on today. And as you were going forth, we were able to, I was listening to the young lady that, that just had the comment, and that's something that's really, as we try to minister to those that are in our family, that may not see things the way we see it. We just pray even harder for them that God will open up their eyes that they can behold the wondrous things out of his law. And you really brought that word out tonight to make a person think about how can they get and be part of the gifts that they may already be using or that they can receive from God. And so maybe they will not feel ashamed or feel bad about going, to, like you just said, and getting what they need.
Amen.
We talk to feel guilty when we leave somewhere. Don't you be church hopping, and don't you be this, and don't you be that. God never intended for us to be miserable in ministry. Misery and ministry don't go together.
Hallelujah.
not continuously anyway. yeah, we go through some things. But he expects us to really go forth in those gifts to help others get free of some things. So I really appreciate hearing you. I look forward to seeing you in the workshop on later on this month. To give me the opportunity to meet you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. God bless you, and I receive that in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. That is so true, because I know that I was in a ministry that I sat there saying, okay, God, release me because I'm getting vexed, but God had released me, but it was my spirit wanted to leave, but my flesh was fighting. But I thank God that I left, and I have grown spiritually since I have. But then you also have to be restored, because I was being disobedient and didn't leave when God told me to. So I had to go through some things. So glory be to God. We really have to be tuned in to what the Holy Spirit is saying, what God is speaking to his people.
Man.
And don't be afraid to say, you know what, because when I went there, God said, you're going to be here in training, but then you're going somewhere, you're moving on. So that was 3.5 years. It was having me to move on. So we have to be able to know what God is saying and let go. And don't sit nowhere and get angry and resentful. That's not what God wanted. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Apostle Brooks, I'm going to pray for you. Glory to God. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over the men of God. I pray right now, God, that all that he poured out tonight for your people, Lord God, you will restore him in double portions, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I pray right now, Father God, that you would just continue to increase him and increase his church in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray right now, Lord God, that the men of God do not want for any good thing in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I come against any spirits of backlash or retaliation in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Restore, Father God. Anything that was taken from the man of God that should not have been, Lord God, restore to the man of God in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Take him higher in the spirit, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Stir up every gift, Lord God. Continue this in the inside of him in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I come against anything that the enemy has sent against the man of God in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. I cover him in your blood, Lord God, and I thank you for the hedge of protection around him, around his home, around his church, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for your warfare and angels, Lord God. Warfare and over the men of God in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and glory be to
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And I thank God again for everyone who has called in. I thank God again for all the internet listeners. Hallelujah, Jesus. You always can go on www.blogtalkradio.com/kingdombuilders. And when we have a guest speaker on, type in their name, and it will pull up the teaching or the sermon that they went forth in the name of Jesus. I love you all, and good night.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless. God bless.